Welcome into another episode of Investing in Real Estate. I'm your host, Clayton Morris. This is the podcast where we focus on buy and hold investing and creating passive income through holding our rental properties. And this is the part two of an episode that we started with a brand new investor a few weeks ago here on the show. If you've listened to episode 50, the Big Magic 50, you got to hear Pablo Fernandez. Now, Pablo didn't have any money and he didn't have any idea where to start. So not only he had no money, and he also lives in London. So he's got like three things he had to overcome. He lives in London, had no money, and he didn't know where to start. Well, we decided to take him through that process here live on the show, almost like a consultative phone call back and forth and really kind of opening up and giving him some action items to get started and get out there and to start get this ball rolling. So we are back. This is part two of our episode. It's been a few weeks since we checked in with Pablo. Literally, I think we checked in with him about 4 weeks ago. Pablo is back on the show. Pablo, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Clayton. Happy to be back.
Well, it's great to have you here. And in the intervening few weeks, we've had just, I think, one or two emails was really about it. The rest of it you've done yourself. And I'm actually as in the dark as our listeners are right now. I really have no idea where you're at in your journey. But let's, before we reveal that, because you may have taken no action at all, so maybe it'll be disappointing, but I like to think that you probably have. So let's rewind the clock back a little bit. For those of our listeners who haven't yet listened to episode 50, what did we talk about and what did I tell you to do?
We talked about how to get started from nothing and how it's possible to do it. A lot of people think that they need to have the money and they need to have a lot of resources, and we're trying to prove them wrong by me doing it. You gave me a bunch of homework, which I haven't done all of it. I had to read the book Getting the Money.
Okay. Yeah, the book Getting the Money by Susan Lasseter Lyons. We'll put that link in today's show notes as well for today's episode. A fantastic book on how to get started. So you haven't had a chance to go through that book yet. What else did I ask you to do?
I haven't finished.
Okay.
Talk to at least three private lenders, which I have, and go to meetups, which I started looking into, but I haven't done yet.
Okay, so go to meetups, talk with three private lenders, read Getting the Money. So you haven't yet, in the few weeks, haven't yet gone to your first meetup there in London with other real estate investors. And you can do that usually just by going to meetup.com. You can do a search in your local area for local real estate groups. If you're looking to get started, you can go meet with those people. And I told you, you know, when you go there, make sure you bring business cards and bring a pen, and so that when they hand you their business cards, you write down a little note about that person and follow up them the next day. But you did call some private lenders, right?
Yes.
Now, how did you find them?
Hold on. About the meetups, mm-hmm. I started looking into them. And the reason why I didn't go to any is because they're all charging what is, for my perspective, quite a big fee for a meetup, like $20 for each meetup. And it's not so much the problem of paying, is the fact that normally meetups are not driven by the revenue from the meetup. And if they are, I'm hesitant about them being just that.
Okay, so let me dispel that myth for you, because every time I've gone to a meetup, I've paid like $10, $15, $20.
Okay.
The reason for that is that the meetups often require them to get a rent a room at a local pub or a facility. So in the United States, you know, we're I'm here in New Jersey. I go to three different meetups usually per month. I've kind of tailored that a little bit back, you know, not as much anymore. And my wife's about to give birth. So I'm not doing that as regularly as I used to. But and I don't do as much, you know, investing in New Jersey as I used to. So, but those, a lot of people in those rooms are my friends. So I like seeing them shooting the bull about real estate, so to speak, and hearing what's going on in the market. It's always a great place. But a couple of my friends run RIA meetings, local real estate investing meetings, and they rent out the rooms, and you know, that costs money. And then they often will get some catering, some food, you know, some pizza, some chicken fingers, some, and maybe like one free drink. That's usually what your $10 or $15 or $20 entrance fee will cover. And they, of course, pocket a little bit of money, but not very much. It really just covers the costs of kind of getting everyone together in that rented space. So just to kind of put that out there.
Okay, good to know. I'm used to meetups, which is a bunch of people in a pub, and you don't pay anything for that.
Right. No, I totally get it. And, you know, there are some that I think probably are free, but I've honestly never been to a real estate meetup without paying $10, $15, $20. And there are some that are even $40 because they'll do like a full catered and they'll even bring in a speaker. So you're paying for like, you know, 30 minutes to hear a speaker that they've brought in. And then there's a meetup portion of the event also, like a mingling time. But honestly, the meetups that I love the most are the ones where you get to mingle almost the whole time. Maybe they'll do like a little clinking of glasses and say, hey, thanks everyone for coming. If you want to leave some of your deals back there on the table, if you want to get together and have a conversation, you know, they'll kind of clink the glasses for a moment and just kind of welcome everyone. And then, hey, everyone, just have a great night. Enjoy everyone's company. And, you know, make sure you say hi to everyone. Food will be out in a few moments. Those are my favorite types of meetups, because then that gives you the opportunity to really work the room and talk to a lot of investors.
I will definitely look at the meetups again and reconsider knowing this.
But barring that, you then did take action. So on the, I told you to talk to three different private lenders. So it sounds like, did you do that?
Yes, I talked to probably around four or five. So I sat down and I made a list of all the people that I knew had or could have enough money for investing in this. And then I approached the people that were the closest to me, some of which were investors in companies at which I worked. And I got rejected quite a bit.
Good, good.
Should we go through the rejections?
Yeah, I would love to hear the rejections, absolutely.
Okay, so a lot of the rejections were around, well, I don't have enough money right now, Brexit, the pound is low, blah, blah, blah. I think all of those are just excuses, mm-hmm. and I'm not paying too much attention to those. The interesting ones were around, well, you're in London, you're investing in the US, you have, what's your advantage here? You don't know what's going on, and so on. And I felt, I'll ask for your opinion, but I felt that without a track record at the moment, I couldn't dispel their objection very easily.
Okay, so you couldn't find out what their objection was right out of the gate.
It was, I think they were just insecure about the whole thing, that I didn't manage to build enough trust in them.
Right.
About these deals.
And so I think that's, you know, and I sent you a couple of example deals that, you know, that we do, you know, the renovations on and of course manage, so they could see this, you know, $40,000-$50,000 house. This is what the cash flow is every month. It's fully done for you, fully managed. We're handling the rehab. That's helpful. But also I think that the main reason I wanted you to read the book, Getting the Money, is because of how to build your like one sheet, you know, and how to put that together so that you've got that nice. Did you put that together as well?
Yes. I forgot. I did, and I did send it. But I don't know if it's the best yet. I haven't reached that point in the book yet.
And you know, here's a great thing. When I started wholesale investing in New Jersey, one of the things my mentor taught me was, he said, look, your cash buyers in wholesaling are going to be your best vetting tool. And I'll just be totally blunt and honest with them, and get answers. You know, in these early stages, you're still sort of just getting answers. If you get these rejections, I wouldn't pay attention to the people who made excuses about Brexit, but the people who honestly looked at your deal and looked at your one sheet and then came back with a rejection, I would look at that and I would ask them, say, you know, I'd just be totally honest. Just say, look, you know, I'm just getting started, and these are the types of properties that I have access to and I'm ready to buy. You know, tell me, why are you hesitant from working with me? This will really help me moving forward. And just be totally honest. You know, the thing that always bothered me about people that would show up at meetups or whatever it was, or on the phone, they would put on, and you can cut right through this smoke, and I can't stand it. Well, they put on airs about things. You know, they pretend to be somebody they're not. Mm-hmm. And you're never going to learn by pretending to be somebody you're not. So just saying to that person, because you probably, once you were rejected, I don't know if you asked a follow-up question, but that's really where the gold nuggets are, in those follow-up questions. Oh, okay, you're rejecting me. okay, now I got to be totally honest with you. I'm just getting started. And, you know, I would really love some feedback on why you're hesitant to work with me. Is there something that you're not happy with the deal? You're not happy with my presentation? Is it because you're in England and I'm investing in the United States? Drill down on that and really try to get some clear answers. And I think it'll really inform your decision, you know, as you put this thing together going forward.
From some of the objections that I got, I started building a FAQ, which I added to my one sheet the common questions that they ask, and so that they have the answer there.
Great, that's great. See, yeah, and then you're answering the objections up front, right? You know, you're in the UK. How can you be managing properties in the United States, or those sorts of things, right? Well, I'm not. I have a great team that's doing it. You know, those sorts of objections right off the top. That's a great way to answer those things right out of the gate. Okay, so you got some more rejections. Did anything stand out to you?
Well, I got one deal.
You got
one
deal.
One person said yes.
All right, and you talked to how many people? Five.
Yeah, I think so.
Love it.
So it was really surprising. It was someone who was not in my list. And remember in the last episode, I was talking about how the banks wouldn't lend me money if it was for buying property. But if I wanted to just spend it on a vacation and generate bad debt, they would.
Right, so generating bad debt was they were happy to do, but actually investing in cash flowing high ROI real estate, they weren't willing to do. That makes no sense to me.
Right, so I wrote a blog post about it because it was so funny. And a friend of mine came to me and he said, "I'll lend you the money." Like, what?
Wow.
So you have money? Like, yeah, I actually have money for two houses if you want. Like, oh, okay.
Well, that's great.
Let's try to figure out the numbers.
Perfect. So now you've got this guy who's ready and willing to take action with you. That's wonderful. Now, of course, as you go through Susan Lasseter-Lyon's book, this is really where sort of constructing, you know, the note together is going to come into play, right? Like how you're going to structure things. Have you started to talk to this person about what sort of an interest rate he would want to do? What sort of terms?
Yes. So we were talking about a single property at the moment, although I might do both at the same time if it's convenient for paperwork reasons. He's willing to do two of $40,000for each loan. And we agreed on a 5% interest rate.
5%, great. So I want everyone hearing this right now, because that is when people are like, "You're going to get 5% interest." There's no way you're going to get 5% interest. Absolutely, because I bet that guy's not making almost anything right now on his money, or he's making lower than 5%, right?
Well, he's not making any, and when we finish talking about all of these, he said, "You know, Pablo, it's been on my to-do list forever to put my money into something that's generating interest, at least some interest. And I've been procrastinating on that. So you actually solved this problem for me."
That's great. That's amazing.
And I asked him, like, really, it's not generating, like, you don't even have it in a savings account generating like the 1% a year. Says, no.
Wow.
Like, wow, okay, so you're losing money because of inflation. Like, yes.
So a couple of key things here. I mean, this is one of the things that Susan Lasseter-Lyon talks about, as she mentions on the podcast in our episode with her, which is it's a game changing episode. If you haven't listened to that, I know you have, but for those who are listeners who are new to us for the very first time, I want you to go back and listen to Susan's episode. It was episode 34 of the Investing in Real Estate podcast. She is a rock star. We talked about the power of private money, and one of the things that she always says to potential investors like your friend is, well, how would you like, you know, this person's maybe making 1% right now with his return. How would you like it if I could double your return? It's a simple question, because chances are they're probably only getting 1, 2, or 3%. So you're happy to do 5%. You would even be fine doing 6%, right? Let's say they were getting 3%. How would you like it if I could double your return? It's a killer question, because who's going to say no to that? Right? Who's going to say, no, I'd be okay with still making what I'm making?
Yes.
So you're able to not only, I don't even know what that is, a quintuple? I don't know. He was making nothing, and now he's getting
making nothing. So it's infinite,
right? So now he's making 5% return on this money, and he wouldn't have had access to these deals had had you not brought them to him. So now he looks like he's going to invest with you on two properties, and and once you show him these returns, he's going to be investing with you time and time again.
Yes. So so some more details about the deals. He wants to track the loan in euros because he has the money in euros. So I said, that's fine with me, but then I need a very minimum loan monthly payment because I don't want to be in a situation where the movement of currency exchanges makes the loan impossible for me to repay. So gotcha. I have around $300 a month of minimum repayment. So my plan for there is to pay the minimum for about a year to build up a buffer to have for the properties in case something is something happens, and then pay as fast as possible. There's no repayment penalties. I was very clear with him about this, that it might happen that I get a repayment loan and I might come back and repay all the loans in one go to him. And most likely, if that happens, I would immediately say, hey, and do you want to do it again? And let's start over. More properties.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's great. And so let me just explain something to our audience here. What's really fantastic is that you didn't – well, first of all, it behooves – it makes sense for him not to have a prepayment penalty. As you know, what's again, I keep coming back to Susan because I think she's the biggest rock star on the planet for private money in this space. One of the things that she says is that no, you should never have a prepayment penalty, because you know why? If you pay him back in 5 months, do you think he's going to want to invest with you again? Of course he will. You just made him in 5 months, 5% return. Keep that money moving, right? He's going to want to give you more money to do it all over again, rinse and repeat. So, you know, prepayment penalties are a joke. And you know, you're going to find them occasionally with some of the larger institutional private lenders, and that's fine. But when on a one-on-one, when you're structuring a note with somebody like this gentleman, no prepayment penalty. That's just, there's no reason for it. They want to keep their money moving and shaking.
Yes, indeed. And I do feel with, I would like to execute on these two houses because I feel that that will give me a lot of credibility when I approach new potential private lenders.
So 5% interest, no prepayment penalty. What's the length of the loan? Did you set a length?
No, because I told him I'm going to pay it as quick as possible. If I only pay the minimum per month, it's going to be 11 years. If I pay the maximum that I expect with the sort of properties that we would be doing, it would take around 5 to 6 years.
5 to 6 years. Okay, great, great. So now $300 a month you'll be paying him. And on this, well, you know, on our typical properties, the properties that I buy and we do for our customers, you know, and investors, you know, roughly $650 to $700 a month. And then, you know, if you take out property management, you're looking at 70, you know, so on 700, you'd be taking out 10%. So you'd be looking at like pocketing about 630 a month. And then, you know, insurance is like $400 a year and taxes are like a few hundred dollars a year. Very, very low. So roughly, I mean, you're really kind of walking away with like another $300 in your pocket every month. Now you want to set aside money for vacancy repairs and expenses, you know, if you take out your 40% for that, but, because the house is being totally rehabbed and it's cash flowing, you're not going to have these big repairs. So you can put that $300 in your pocket, right? And what's your plan for that additional $300 to kind of pay him back quickly or pocket that? How are you going to do that? Split it in half?
Yes. My plan is for the first year to just set it aside so that I have around $3,000 per property, just to be safe. I can be very conservative sometimes. Then the rest just pay as quick as possible.
That's great. All right, great. So now next steps, he's ready to go. You're ready to go. What's next for you to basically get a property under contract, right? And start the process.
Yes, I think next steps, you tell me.
Great.
So, right. So I've been thinking, because I've been listening to all the episodes, how to set it up. And I thought of having one company as the umbrella company and then having companies only own a small amount of property that belong to the umbrella company.
Right. And again, I'm not a lawyer and I'm not an accountant. So, you know, you all want to seek your own counsel on this. But as you've listened to the other podcasts where we've talked with folks like Tom Wheelwright, who is an accountant and one of, you know, a brilliant tax accountant, their advice to us at ProVision has been to set up a holding company in either the state of Wyoming or the state of Nevada. Wyoming there was their preference. And then setting up LLCs for your properties up to about $150,000 in value. So for us, that's about 2 to 3 properties in one LLC. And then starting a new LLC when you acquire more properties and putting them into that next LLC. And so then those LLCs would report up to your holding company. And then you would set up a bank account that way. So it really offers you an incredible level of protection. But again, seek your own counsel on this. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an accountant. And all of you listening should also do the same when seeking the advice from your accountants or lawyers on setting all this up. But I think it's a great strategy. That's what we personally do, is set up an LLC for up to about 3 properties in one LLC.
Just for the record, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an accountant either. I'm not advising anybody.
No. And that's a really important point to say here. I mean, everyone has different life scenarios, right? And so my wife and I are just setting up a living trust and a living will with our account, you know, team. All of the questions that we have to go through are totally different than they might be for you. But as Tom has mentioned here on the show, Tom Wheelwright from ProVision, setting up a holding company with that level of protection, and then also then having your LLCs that own properties reporting up to that holding company offers a really awesome level of protection. And I know a lot of investors that do that. So again, seek your own counsel on that, but that's what we do personally. So take that with a grain of salt.
Something that I'm going to do is for the first 6 properties, I'm going to set up an LLC for each of them.
Great.
And then I'm going to start adding the second one to each of those. And by doing that, I never have more than 1/3 of my assets in a single LLC.
That's great.
Because
that's...
if I just set one and buy the 3 properties, and then I set the second one and buy the 3 properties, I have 6 properties, but half my assets are in one LLC.
I have an investor friend who owns, I think he owns like 300 properties, a good friend of mine here in New Jersey, and he rehabs here locally and has like multi-families, three families, 4 families in the city of Newark, New Jersey. He buys really distressed, and he puts hundreds of thousands of dollars in each of these properties, and I don't have the stomach for what he does, but I'm good friends with him. And in any rate, that's how he does it. So he has a bunch of LLCs, and then he rotates as he acquires new properties. He kind of plunks them into each new LLC. But for those of you listening out there, you know, it's not necessary to set up 10 LLCs when you're just starting. 1 or even 2 would be fine, I think. And the way you're doing it is absolutely fine as well. And by the way, you know, a lot of people want to spend money using companies like LegalZoom and all that. Honestly, you can go right to the Department of State's website for the state that you want to set up your LLC, and it costs about $100 usually, right through the state Department of State's website. So let's just say Michigan, right? The Department of State's website for Michigan. Click on the Start New Business tab, and then you're off to the races, and you can set up your LLC within a few minutes on those websites, and often for hundreds less than you would pay one of those online services to do it. Just a little pro tip to save you some more money.
Do you recommend getting an accountant before opening a company?
I recommend having a great accountant, regardless of whether or not you're opening up another LLC. A great accountant can really help you structure your business and your taxes the right way, so that you're going to pay the least amount of taxes, that you're going to maximize your overall tax benefits and everything. So regardless of setting up the company, I would say it's imperative to have just a great accountant, someone who understands real estate. Again, go back to episode 19 and episode 22. We had a 2-part episode with Tom Wheelwright, who is Robert Kiyosaki, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It's his tax accountant. And he is a genius when it comes to tax law. his advice, listen to his advice on hiring an accountant. It's gold. This guy is a genius, and this is who we use at ProVision. If you're going to use ProVision, go there and then tell them that Morris Invest sent you. They'll take great care of you. But if you don't use ProVision, because they can be a little bit more expensive, but they are fantastic, then make sure that you ask the questions that Tom asks you to ask in episode 22. He has some specific questions that he lays out for you to ask a potential real estate accountant that you're going to work with. If they don't have the answers to this, then you probably don't want to work with them. In fact, I had an investor friend of mine the other day who said, after listening to your podcast, I was sitting in my accountant's office and I was asking him specific real estate questions and he couldn't answer them. And he said, I literally picked up my things and I walked out and I said, I think it's time for me to find another accountant. If they don't understand estate, then you shouldn't be working with them if you're buying real estate. I mean, bottom line, right? I mean, real estate is one of the best ways of, you know, maximizing your tax benefits that exists. So if your accountant doesn't understand it, time to get another accountant.
And also for the people that are outside the United States and are going to be doing this, check with your local accountant about dual taxation. So, for example, the US and the UK have an agreement where if I pay taxes for something in the US, I don't have to repay the same taxes in the UK. But it does require getting the data from the US, from the accountant in the US, giving it to an accountant in the UK that is going to do the tax return the way the government here wants it. And I know this is true for many countries and not others, but check with your local accountant.
That's great. That's great. I didn't know that. So, yeah, thanks for sharing that. So, really, the next steps then are, okay, you're going to be setting up your LLC next, which is very simple to do. It takes like 5 minutes to do. And again, we have episodes on this specifically on how to do it. It should not be scary in the least. Once you have your LLC set up, then that's the name of which you're going to buy the properties under. So, once you have that name, that LLC name, you know, then let us know. Then we would identify a property or two and put them together for you and be off to the races and literally be able to close within a few weeks. You would work with our friends at the title company who would help you structure the note and you'd be golden. And then we'd be off to the races. Does that sound like a plan?
Absolutely. Can't wait.
Well, this is amazing. I mean, I'm so thrilled that you've done this. I mean, it was quite a surprise. I honestly, hand to the heavens, I didn't know like what you were going to bring to the table today and whether or not you just had hit a roadblock or whatever, but I'm so encouraged and just inspired that you took action like this. And I think it's inspiring for our listeners who think that they've talked to 3 private lenders and they didn't get anywhere and they're frustrated. You talked to 5 and on the 5th one, that's what you got. So it just takes some perseverance. Maybe take you 10, maybe it takes you 15. But the point is you are going to find somebody and you are going to be able to find that interest rate that works for you. And you're going to be able to buy your first property. Even like Pablo, you have no money to work with. It's fantastic. I'm super excited. This just made my day. Well, Pablo, great. So what we'll do is we'll check in a few weeks back here on the podcast. And we'll kind of go through the step 3, right? I mean, after you've set up the LLC, after we've identified the properties and you're constructing the note and kind of going through that process, I think that'll really help our audience as well. What do you say?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. My guest was Pablo, live from London, no experience, no cash on hand, and is just moments now literally away from acquiring his first 2 rental properties. I'm so excited to hear this. This really, 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 really had the biggest smile on my face right now. Check out the show notes. We mentioned a couple of books. We mentioned a couple of past episodes. You're going to want to come over and go to just go to morrisinvest.com/episode59. That's morrisinvest.com/episode59. There you can see all of the show notes from today's episode and links to the books and other podcasts that we were talking about. We'll have them all right there, nice and easy for you. Pablo, it was great having you on the show today. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Clayton.
And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing. I am so excited that you're taking action like this. If you'd like to book a call with our team today and you are ready to take the plunge and pick up your first property, great. Come on over to morrisinvest.com, click on the Book a Call tab, and we will love to jump on the phone with you and talk real estate. Until next time, everyone, have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here on the Investing in Real Estate podcast. Much love.